Vov Iyar, Tuesday the 6th of May, Rabbi Osher Chaim Levine, The Colors in the Torah.
Good morning, everybody. Shus, my father. Shus, the Kahal. In Eretz Yisrael today, without getting onto the religious significance or not, there will be a lot of waving of flags, most probably, hopefully, the white and blue variety. And living in a highly visual world, color is something which we take for granted, but it's something which is incredible and we actually don't fully appreciate it. Eyes are actually one of the most sensitive and delicate organs of the whole body, and they are the window through which we view the world. The reason why we rely on eyesight more than any other senses, as scientists explain, is because it's actually responsible for 4/5 of all the information that our brain receives. But the human eye actually sees a physical universe which is magnificently awash in many brilliant and delightful colours. Actually, how it actually works, without getting into all the physics, shaboy, but Bekitsa, Aragalachas, the physicists tell us that colours actually, the way they appear to our eyes is because there are wavelengths of light which are reflected off them, and there are three primary colours, blue, green, and red. And so, for example, a tomato, if it's a good, juicy tomato, if you're into tomatoes, it will absorb the green and the blue, but it will reflect the red colour. Actually, the human eye can see absolutely millions of different colours and shades.
What do you mean the tomato absorbs green? What do you mean by that?
I'll explain. The idea that the eye is able to see so many incredible colours paints and it provides us with a world that is very, very diverse and brilliant. Most of us, the way we come into different types of colours is like, which colour fashion is it this season? Don't worry, I don't have an answer to that. Or, for example, if you're doing a simcha, colour coordinating is I understand, extremely important to make sure that every single colour fits in with the flowers and the decor, etc. Or a uniform, or, yeah, absolutely. But the idea that even a flag, which is the identity which is a certain country will have certain types of colours which it's able to project itself. As we see, there's natural phenomena, whether it's the rainbow, the prism in the rainbow, or whether it is the roses are red, violets are blue, whether it's animals, the feathers of a peacock, the striking colours of a parrot, the world is beautifully colourful. And what I'd like to try and do today, it's obviously going to be impossible in the time we have allocated, but it's to try and explore some of the symbolism of colours with reference to their appearance within Tanakh and Chazal. Of course, we're not going to have time to go through the whole thing, but we do find, for example, prominent areas where we find colours, as first obviously in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, all the different fabrics. That's found, for example, we have the idea of different types of shades of tzaraas, we have the idea of dam nidah, what is considered red, what is not considered red. We have the pora aduma, the red cow, which has to be burnt in order to provide the ashes to purify someone who's come into contact with a dead body. You have the tcheles, you have the tzitzis. The tzitzis are white, and the tcheles is turquoise or bluish. You've got the black blocks of the tefillin, which are the Moshe Mesinai. So we find manifold expressions of colours within the universe. What I'd like to try and do today is, to borrow a term from my camping days, is to consider the colour war. The colour war is between three different types of colours. One of them is black and white. The second is blue and white, for some people, and the third is red and white, which also has a relationship between this period that we're in, between Pesach and Shavuos. So let's start off with the easiest one, black and white. What's the nafkamina in between the two? Well, we actually find that some people actually don't say that black actually isn't a colour, in the sense that it's not, it's a neutral colour, but what it does is it actually, it absorbs all the light, and therefore it doesn't reflect any light to something else. Mash Enkin, white is the epitome of light. The first expression, as we find in creation, was by Hior. There's the concept of light, and that's white, the whiteness which you find. And the Maral explains in Netzach Yisrael Perik Lamed Aleph, the white is hispashtus, complete outer simplicity. There's nothing sophisticated, sometimes, nothing sophisticated about it at all. And within it, actually, as we know, if you take a white light and you shine it through the prism, you then get it, it will then refract all the different colours of the spectrum. But white is the one that encompasses all of it together. The Mahnafkanu between black and white is the difference between darkness and light, between negativity and the lack of existence, which is synonymous with the concept of black, you know, a black hole, for example. Speak to some scientists who know about that, for that. Or the idea of light, which is positivity and true existence. So the Nafkamina would be the difference between Laila v'Yoim, between day and night. Night, as we know, is black. It's a time of inactivity, of rest, compared to day, which is a day of activity and work. The other Nafkamina would be is that before there was artificial light and electricity invented, when it came dark time, everyone had to retire to their home. They were isolated. You're cut off from everybody else. There's the loneliness with your own identity, and because there's no reflection of light to be able to interact with anybody else. Mashen came when we say Pokeach Ivrim, the idea that we can see the light, is that we're able to interact with each other, and there's the possibility of Achdus. And as we mentioned beforehand as well, is that if you take all the different colours of the rainbow and the spectrum and drill them together, you get white, which is this level of Achdus, the interaction with everybody, where the unification with all the colours come together as one. Another Nafkamina would be is that darkness epitomises the concept of ambiguity, or the period of darkness, of danger. Famous Mr. Shorim towards the beginning of the Sefer, where he mentions how somebody who's walking in this oilam, in this world, which is Doimet Laila, but doesn't actually see where they're going, the danger that they are, especially if they're close to a river edge, the double danger involved. So there's the period of danger, which is synonymous with the concept of black, where you can't see where you're going, compared to light, which is clarity, safety, where you can see where you are. As you'd also find, darkness is synonymous with something that's opaque, something that's mysterious, something which is not understood. You synonymous with black, the black arts, for example. That's cloudy and inaccessible compared to something which is light, which is white, which is clear, visible, accessible, something which is there before everybody else. And another thing would be is that darkness represents the idea of confusion, obfuscation, blockages, concealment, compared to light, which is illumination, where there's no barriers provided to you, where everything is revealed. You could actually say the nafkamina between white and black, between day and night, is also the nafkamina between teva, the natural order, and lemanama teva, nes. Darkness is a reference to teva in the sense that there's a certain natural order and certain things happen. We know how things are going to unfold, but it's synonymous. The evening is synonymous with, in Kabbalah, Sefer Kabbalah, with the concept of din, midas ha-din, which is judgment, which is the idea is that things are restricted, compared to the concept of chesed neis, which is white, is synonymous also with chesed, which is kindness, and that's the concept of the love. The nafkamina you'd find is, as found in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, is the juxtaposition you find with the oirev, with the raven, which is black, which is synonymous with the darkness of night, compared to the yoina, which is white, which is the concept of chesed, and we know the nafkamina between the yoina and the oirev when it came to leaving Noach's teva before the rainbow. The nafkamina is that while we have l'hagiba boikeh chastecha, the day is synonymous with chesed, where you can see Hashem Baruch was revealed, and that's the chesed, which is the concept of the neis, compared to darkness, which is the menoscha balela. It's there you need to have a munna, you need to have faith, because there isn't that level of clarity in front of you, so you still need to, from what you saw in the light time, you have to take that with you when it gets to the concept of dark. Another nafkamina would be that darkness and blackness is synonymous with hesteponim, with concealment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face, so to speak, which is found in the Inyan of Godus, of exile, compared to white, which is gilui ponim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his face, it's a period of nisim and the period of geula, where there's redemption, where we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu before us, and we have that incredible realization of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We find in Shir HaShirim, the idea of Shechora Ani V'Novo, that I'm blackened, I'm black, not me personally, of course, but nevertheless, that's a reference to Klal Yisrael, who are blackened by sin, that they have avarice with them. Nevertheless, they still are Novo, they still have this beauty, in the sense that the continuation from the Ovois and the deeds of the Schutz Ovois stands them in good stead. Compared to that, we find that the idea that whilst sin is referring to a stain, something that's black, you have whiteness, which is the idea of cleanliness and innocence, of purity. And that you find, as the Pasuk in Keheles test says, V'chol eisiu gudecha levonim. You should have white. Doesn't mean if you're a yeshiva bacha, you're going to have black jackets. But the idea is that there should be the whiteness, there should be this innocence and purity to you. And if there are any stains, they should be rubbed off. We actually find the concept of clothes, black clothes, is synonymous with aveiro, with this tarnish, and with death. We find, for example, that it says if a person needs to do an aveira, rather than doing it in the public eye, they should go to Hots and Plots, somewhere where there's no other yizim as well, and put on black, and then do the aveira, whatever's necessary, and then come back. So we find black is synonymous with the concept of aveira. It's also synonymous with the idea of mourning, of avelas. For example, the Gemara in Soita, Daf Chesma Bey, says that the Soita, which she would change her clothing, she would change, if she was wearing white, she would change them to the concept of black. And the Rambam actually quotes in Hilchus Bias HaMikdosh, Perik Vav, that if there was a Kohen who had a dodgy yichus to him, what he would do is he would be banished or sent out from the Bais HaMikdosh, and he would be told to wear black and leave, because it wasn't synonymous with the concept of the Bais HaMikdosh, which is the Kohanim. The usual, we find that the ordinary Kohen, all of his clothing is Abba Begodim, was full of white, and the kittel that we have on Yom Kippur, there's a famous Torah that mentions how, unlike the Umas HaOlam, unlike other nations of the world, if they are going into a court case and they don't know what the future holds for them, they are in a state of mourning, and they wear Lobish Shechorim, they wear black. Mashem in Klal Yisrael, we are batuach, we are convinced in our HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us, the Kippur that we'll have the Yom Kippurim. Therefore, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we are Lobish Levenim, we wear white, we wear the kittel, because we're confident that we are going to emerge triumphant. So, Olam HaZeh is considered like the blackness of night, of darkness. Mashen Kein, Olam Haba, where everything will be revealed, is called Yom Shekul Aruch. It's the day that is completely extended, long day, forever, for infinity, which is very long. But that's the concept of that something that is white, something that is clear, and that's the revelation that we have. So the difference between something that's black and white is enough coming between the revelation of daytime compared to the darkness that we find in nighttime. We find another colour which is compared to white, and that is the concept of the Tcheles, right? The blue and white. Which is, the Tcheles is found in the Mishkan in quite a few places. It was used for the various begodim of the Kohen Gadol. It was used for some of the Urias. It was used for the coverings of the main Kalim when Klal Yisrael would travel. We also find it is found in the Parsha of Tzitzis. The idea that we have is that the Tzitzis are all considered lavan, all considered white, but you have Pesil Tcheles, which is this turquoise or bluish hue, and that is found in contrast to the white. What is this white and blue and white involved on that? So the Maran explains that the nafgamina between the lovon and the tcheles is the nafgamina between mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. White is reference to mitzvahs asay, which is all-encompassing, which all the mitzvahs, which it's the backdrop against which every single thing, you have a blank white piece of paper which you can colour or draw anything on it. And that's the backdrop which is important. Mashenkin, the tcheles is a reference to mitzvahs lois asay. The negative mitzvahs, the prohibitive mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that we need to make sure that we don't transgress, because the nafkamin is, whilst the mitzvahs asay are how we build our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvahs lois asay are how we make sure we don't destroy or damage that relationship. So in the same way that, for example, we find that the Maran explains that the pasuk we mentioned beforehand, b'chol eisiyu b'necha b'godecha levonim, is the idea that every single person, all of their actions through mitzvah aseh should be completely white, whiter than white. Masha ein kein, we need to make sure that we don't do any mitzvahs lois aseh, which will cause us to oinesh, the punishment. And as we know, the tcheles, famous Gemara Menachos in Soita, that the tcheles is the dye that came from the chalozen, certain type of marine creature, which resembles the yam. The yam, the sea, resembles the rokia, the sky. The rokia resembles the kisa kovod. So when a person uses this color by association, what they're then able to do is they're able to go up to the Kisar Kavod, which is the recognition that you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, and that you will be accountable for what you have, for what you do. So therefore, in that sense, the Maharal explains that the blue, the Tcheles, is reference to the concept of mitzvahs loisase. Another twist or another knetch on this is brought by the Shemesh Shmuel. He says that white represents Avas Hashem. As you mentioned, it's the chesed, it's the love, the benevolence HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, even if we're not deserving. Masha Enkein, the Tcheles is, whilst that's Avas Hashem, the Tcheles is a reference to Yiras Hashem, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes a Medrash HaGadol, which says, beautifully, that if a person is looking at these colors in order to look at the Kisar Kavod, when he looks at the Kisar Kavod, he'll be fearful, Lemisha Barava V'Hoya Olam, the one that spoke and the world was created. Or, as we know, the concept of the Kavod, the Kisar Kavod, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Kol Masha Barach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bailamai, Loi Bara Ela Lichvodai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he created was only for his Kavod, and that concept of the Tcheles being the prevention from sin is found as very meduic in the Medrash, which the Medrash quotes, which is that a person was about to, similar to another Mamachaz on the Gemara, a person was about to commit an Avera with a woman of ill repute, and then his tzitzis, seems to be specifically the Tcheles, hit him in the face, which more or less enabled him, the Oinesh of the what he's going to, the fact that he may be punished, that hit him and that struck him, and he was able to prevent himself from doing an Avera. So the concept of the Tcheles, which is the fulfillment of Tcheles, as we know, as the Gemara in the Sefri says, it's like the Shechin is in front of us. When Shvis Hashem in Lendi Islamis, by placing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of us, by seeing that even though we don't have the Tcheles, or there's a whole discussion whether the Tcheles has been lost today, not an Inyan for today, but the idea of having this both Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, the joining the two together, is important. And even in the case when we don't have the Tcheles, we still have the main other mitzvahs of the whiteness of the tzitzis, which holds us in good stead, which wraps our body and tells us that it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we kol eisiyo b'necha levonim, and you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all the positive commandments. And if you have the Tcheles, also prevent yourself from all the negative commandments. That's the idea of also Seish Shanas Yaakov, Bereisim Yachas Tcheles Mordechai. The Nafkamina being is that whilst Mordechai was able to go against Amalek, as we know, he wants you to forget. That's why we told Zechoriz Ashas Lecha Amalek Leisishkach. And therefore when Mordechai, when he came out from the Shar Melech and he was able to vanquish the concept of Amalek, which wants us to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Kal Yisrael, Amalek first attacked, they said, Kal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem v'kibeinu in ayin, is Hashem in our midst or not? Namely, do we know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here or not? So Mordechai is Tcheles Mordechai, because when it came to the nes of the miracle of Purim, is even if we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the veneer of nature, we're still able to penetrate and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not forget him. That's the symbolism of what the Tcheles is. Finally, let's have a look at the nafkamina between the concept of white and red. If we're having this spectrum, interestingly, out of the seven main colors that are visible, the first one that's refracted, if you're shining the light through this prism, is red. Red is synonymous with the concept of chet, ara, which is of sin, which is where we deviate from the straight and narrow. So in the same way that there should be the light, kamashmoy, the light should be straight, and therefore we should follow the Torah mitzvahs and not deviate at all, any slight deviation I may have, immediately you're going from what's white and what should be there, tzina kosh baruch hu, you're immediately going to red, danger zone. And we find the nafkamina between red and white in amazing, amazing areas. Lamoshal, for example, the nafkamina between the two main luminaries that we have is the difference between the sun and the moon. The sun, which is yellow, reddish, is synonymous with Esav, with Edoim. Edoim, our main antagonist is called red. This goes back to the story of Esav when he says to Yaakov, he comes back from the field, famished. Haliteni na min ha'odom ha'odom hazeh. Give me this red stuff. Madregas Odom explains is that Esav is superficiality. He can't go beyond the surface. For him, it's just red stuff, and therefore his name Edom is indicating that he is unable to penetrate the essence of what the mahus of something, what something should really be. So he's the oldest son, therefore he's the Gedolah, which is a reference to the son. Mashenkin Yaakov is a reference to, which is he's considered the Katan, he's the younger one. That's references to the moon, which is, what's the Hebrew name for the moon? Levana. What's Levana? Levana means something that is white. And whilst red and is synonymous with blood, with someone's blood boiling, hot-headed. Yaakov, we know Esav is impulsive. Mashiach Yaakov is Ishtam, right? He goes through, he doesn't get irate. He's able to tackle various antagonists. The Nafkamina also being, there's that, the flesh and the blood. Blood is very, very close to the surface. You just prick yourself, print yourself, right? The blood immediately emerges. So that's the superficiality, which is Esav, which is the veneer. Mashenkin, what are the main structure of the body? What's the frame of the body? It's the bones. What are the bones? What are the bones? The bones are white. So that's the reference there. That etzem, word for bone, it also means etzem, means the essence. The essence of something is something which is the inner content, not the external, which is Esav. So whilst Esav is moina, according to the sun, which is reddish, that idea of no change, the shoma, which repeats itself. Mashenka Kal Yisrael, we have Moina Kunt Levana, which is the idea of Chidush, which is a new month, the new beginning. And that's why the day before Rosh Chodesh is often called Yom Kippur Katan. The Yom Kippur, the idea of atonement, is the idea of forgiveness. It's where any sin, which you may have been synonymous with the concept of redness, gets wiped clean. You get the whiteness that takes place. And as we know, that's what happened, took place in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there was this crimson-red thread. And the way Klal Yisrael knew whether the avodas had been forgiven was when this red, crimson thing turned white. So then that's the idea of the Beis Hamikdash we find also is a place which is synonymous with the concept of whiteness, which is, as you find, for example, the Moshe Rabbeinu desired to see Hahor HaZeh HaTov V'Halavonon. He wanted to see this mountain and the Levanon. Says Rashi, this pasuk in Devarim, what is Levanon? Levanon is referring to the Beis Hamikdash. The Medrash says that Levanon is a reference to the whiteness. Lebanon, Levanon comes from the word Lavon, which is white. And similarly also, the pasuk says, Yechata Eichem Kashonim Keshele Gelbinu, namely the idea that any redness that might be, any sin, any deviation, which has meant that you've refracted, you've gone off the straight and narrow, you'll come back and there'll be this whiteness, everything will be forgiven and taken away. That's why also we find that the Egel Hazov, red, we don't have time to go into all the various metallic colours at the moment, but in the difference between the two, the difference between Zov and Kesev is the difference between red and white. The reddish complexity of the shininess which you hand with silver is referenced to Egel Hazov, which is the epitome of Chet. And the way that was, we found, when was the Egel Hazov forgiven? That was forgiven in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when we wear a kittel, when everything is white, but even the Kohen Gadol, who usually wears the Shmoina Begodim, he only goes in the base of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in something that is completely white. Every single thing gets turned from anything, deviation gets back to the whiteness which is found. We find also a very interesting thing that this period that we're in now, which is the Sefirah between Pesach and Shavuos, is also the journey between red to white. How do we find this? We find that the Klal Yisrael were able to leave Mitzrayim through the schus of B'dmai Chayi, the blood of Pesach, and Dam Pesach HaBlam Mila, which they painted on in the inner frame of their house. And that was the dam of the Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoyres. The Gemara says that when it comes to a woman who often has dam nidah, what happens is that when she becomes pregnant, her blood, dam na'akar v'na secholov. What happens is that her menstrual blood becomes turbid, and then it turns to milk. So what previously was synonymous with the concept of dam, of redness, of misa, of death, of chet, now becomes a period of life. What is milk? Milk is something you give to a child. The child needs the milk in order to sustain until it can start having solids. So what happens, that's the transition. So the Zohar actually mentions that the 7 weeks between Shavuos, between Pesach and Shavuos, resemble the Sheva Yimei Nekiyim, the 7 clean days that a woman has after she no longer has this dam nidah, in order before she can come back to unite again with her husband. And what happens is, so therefore, the blood that has a brush with death, which we have, which is the bloodshed which takes place in Mitzrayim, that now turns to Shavuos. What do we have on Shavuos? We have a minhag of having cheesecake, of having gadur ma'in, or a chayim. Toft Tzadi Dalet says that we have milky products, which is that concept. We have Torah, which is the chiyus that we have, which is the food for a baby. We are reborn, tinnik that comes into our own, and we receive the Torah, which is the transition. So again, all the chatzoyim, the memtes sharitumah that Klal Yisrael had when we left Mitzrayim, that gets all completely cleaned, and we receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim. In conclusion, the idea our universe is complex. Nothing's ever black and white. Every single thing, there's different types of shades, different degrees, and there is a diversity of our world which needs to be tapped into, and we need to appreciate every single thing that is in there and use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is to use an example of my 4-year-old who thoroughly enjoys colouring, right? But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah is like a colouring book, in the sense that we all have the framework, the outline, the Tarag mitzvahs which are given to us, which is how we need to operate within. It is staying within, it's so important for us to make sure we use the right colours and make sure we draw nicely in the lines. We need to make sure we stay within the lines, the framework that Torah gives us. But within that framework which is given to us, we are able to create our own picture, our own different colourful picture which uses the diverse aspects, all the attributes that we have within ourselves and bring it to the fore so every single thing looks beautifully. We need to make sure we colour in the lines, we don't scribble, and through doing that Metz Hashem, we will make sure that we will see Torah in all its colours, use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, use this transition from black to white, from blue and white together, and also from the idea of red, which is Pesach, to the white, which is Shavuos, and through doing that Metz Hashem, pardon the pun, we will hopefully go through with flying colours.